He dipped cotton wool into the muddy water and touched it to the casing about 12 inches away from the fuse. It fell away, so it meant he had to wait longer. When the cotton wool stuck, it meant enough of the area around the fuse was frozen and he could go on. He poured more oxygen into the cup. The growing circle of frost was a foot in radius now. A few more minutes. He had by now been in the shaft with the bomb for more than an hour. He continued feeding in the liquid oxygen. At shoulder height, just to his right, was a hose pumping down normal air to prevent him from becoming giddy with oxygen. He tried the cotton wool again, and this time it froze on. He had about 20 minutes. After that, the battery temperature within the bomb would rise again, but for now the fuse was iced up and he could begin to remove it.
"It's a 2,000-pound bomb, sir. Esau," Hardy's voice from the top of the mud pit. "Type Mark 50, in a circle B. Two fuse pockets, most likely. But we think the second one is probably not armed. Okay?"
They had discussed all this with each other before, but things were being confirmed, remembered for the final time.
"Put me on a microphone now and get back," Kip said.
"Okay, sir."
Kip smiled. There was always hesitation by the soldiers to call him sir, but Hardy barked it out loud and enthusiastically. He was working fast now to prise out the fuse, all the batteries inert.
"Can you hear me?"
"Whistle. Okay, I heard it."
"A last topping up with oxygen," he said.
"We'll let it bubble for 30 seconds, then start. Freshen the frost."
"Okay, I'm going to remove the dam."
"Okay, dam gone."
Hardy was listening to everything and recording it in case something went wrong. One spark and Kip would be in a shaft of flames.
"I'm using the quilter key."
He had pulled it out of his breast pocket. He began to remove the locking ring. It moved easily and he told Hardy. He pulled off the locking ring and the locating ring and let them sink into the water. He could feel them roll slowly at his feet. It would all take another 4 minutes. Then, to his horror, the fuse head broke away, came off completely.
"Wrong, Hardy. Whole fuse head snapped off. Talk back to me, okay? The main body of the fuse is jammed down there. I can't get to it. There's nothing exposed I can grip. Where is the frost at?"
Hardy was right above him. It had been a few seconds, but he had raced to the shaft.
6 more minutes of frost. Come up and we'll blow it up. No, pass me down some more oxygen."
He raised his right hand and felt an icy canister being placed in it.
"I'm going to dribble the muck onto the area of exposed fuse, where the head separated. Then I'll cut into the metal. Chip through till I can grip something. Get back now. I'll talk it through."
He could hardly keep his fury back at what had happened. The muck, which was their name for oxygen, was going all over his clothes, hissing as it hit the water. He waited for the frost to appear, and then began to shear metal off with a chisel. He poured more on, waited and chiseled deeper. When nothing came off, he ripped free a bit of his shirt, placed it between the metal and the chisel, and then banged the chisel dangerously with a mallet, chipping off fragments, the cloth of his shirt his only safety against a spark.